real life on Instagram as well. Nice. Noah. Okay.
Nice to meet you as well.
Welcome to episode of Business is Spiritual. I still haven't attached my lost rasters, but it does not matter because we're all about authenticity here. Today we have a spiritual leader right down there. His name is Noah Kravener. He's from Germany, and I'm pretty amazed about what he achieved so far. You have a following of 16,000 followers on TikTok, is that right?
Exactly.
This is, by the way, his social handle, so make sure to follow him if you are into positive energy. Because I believe, like from my eye, you know, I'm in business, etc. Your business tactic, you didn't really have one, have you? You just spread truly authentic positive vibes. You've been spreading them consistently and people just loved it. Was that your strategy? Come on.
Exactly. That's how it was.
Amazing. Why do you think did that work? Or did you even think it would work out? Or did you even had any strategy? On who did you listen to get where you are right now?
If I'm really honest, I didn't think about it at all. It kind of started, well, I started with TikTok 1 year ago, beginning 2023. And before that, a half year before that, I just saw all these people. And I think they were like kind of American, but all these English speaking people spreading positivity. And I never had really had anything to do with social media. And then I just was so amazed by all these people trying to help other people. And I was thinking about doing the same. And I was just trying to figure out how to get into it. And then I just, out of nowhere, started uploading a video and then kept going. And that's all I wanted to do.
And how could you, was it the first time you tried something like that in your life?
Definitely.
And what did you make keep up? Because no matter what you do, being consistent at something is always a challenge. So what was it that made you keep doing what you were doing?
All the people I was able to meet, because I started going live also, and I had all these great people from around Germany just being happy about what I'm doing. And I didn't even realize what I was doing and creating in the moment. It is like you just do something in a certain time in your life, and then a half year later, you look at it and then you realize it first. I did not realize what I am doing and how many people I'm actually like reaching and helping.
It's called freestyle. Amazing. Okay, but I know you're also selling a service because you are doing consultations for people, for like newcomers to get into starting their own business.
I did that a little bit, but I'm not really into that too much.
Why did you even start doing that in the first place?
Also because I saw it. I wanted to do so many things. I had all these ideas. I wanted to open up everything at once after I got into social media. And then I just started everything. And then it kind of like, but that was not really what I wanted to do. Because I was trying to do something. It's hard to explain.
I know. That's why we're talking about it. Clarity is valuable. So let's get to the core of the thing. Let's talk about my story. I'm just literally the same. How old are you now?
24 at the moment.
24. So I started my YouTube journey 10 years ago. I'm 27 at the moment. So with like 17 years, I started uploading YouTube videos. If you don't know Ralph Smart, he's a black positive guy. He shares a lot of love and does a lot of interesting videos on the topic of spirituality, manifestation, and self-improvement. And I basically did the same thing just in German 10 years ago because I couldn't keep all the information for myself. I just couldn't. I was getting into becoming a healthier version of myself. I was getting into detoxifying myself. I was getting into decalcifying my pineal gland. All my psychic abilities started to open up, and I just felt like an asshole to not share what I'm actually doing. And also, I felt very alone at this time and point in my life, because not a lot of people want to be their best versions. So I had to build my own tribe, build my own game. And of course, social media is the way to do that. And it's beautiful that we have the possibilities and the accessibilities. And of course, I've been a copycat somehow, right? I've been like basically doing the same stuff like him, all the people, just motivating, inspiring, and sharing my own thoughts. And at a certain point, just like you, I felt and also saw for myself how I wasn't like fully being myself. I've been like not up there with my own brand yet. I was one of them. Let's call it like this. This is the initiation to actually finding out who you are. Like doing stuff that other people do and then doing it your way or not doing it at all. This is self-discovery. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Nice. Nice. So I'm very glad that you did it. You just did it. You did it like the imperfect way without any expectation. You just moved. This is the first step. We move. Like, okay, the step zero is like coming into our bodies somehow, being present and deciding what the fuck we are going to create. And then once we designed the blueprint, we are going to do it. And it's cool. It's cool. I'm not the only crazy person in this world. This is nice to know.
We're not crazy.
And yeah, but I think authenticity and individuality comes with weirdness. Strangeness, weirdness, you know? Yeah. And embracing that. I like weird people, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes life fun.
Makes life fun. And yeah, today we've been talking about, or we wanted to talk about the topic of sin, because you invited me to a live stream of yours on TikTok, and I did not have 1,000 subscribers, so I haven't unlocked the streaming feature, right? Do you remember?
I didn't even remember, but yes, it was like this.
I remember. So that was it. And you were talking about sin. Do you kind of remember what you've been talking about in this stream?
Oh, no.
No?
Not at all.
Not at all. So it's very interesting as an alchemist and seeing sin from an alchemic perspective. What I want to share with you is that everything guarding sin that is written in the Bible that we know, and also the mainstream stuff, this is can basically all be categorized down to shadow. And being an alchemist is all about being a pure vessel for your genius. So once you become energetically pure, the only thing that you will want to do consciously is to stream your genius. And the genius of you is very wild. It has almost no rules, and not a lot of people will relate to the wild art that is within you if you are becoming 100% yourself and you are not leaving no parts behind. And this is what I'm here to do. I'm basically digging deep with people, digging deep into their shadows and face them and eliminate them and reclaim the power and the light that they are supposed to be, because all the shadow codes are distorted and broken codes. And if we are full of shadow, if our vessel is full of these sinful lifestyle situations that are being caused by shadow, well, our vessel is not pure. Your vision, the way you perceive life, the way you perceive things, the way you listen to people, the way you talk to people will be diluted with shadow. What shadow is, what sin is, we're going deeper into what that is in this episode. But to be very strict to the point, sin and shadow is distortion, and that distortion will not allow you to filter life through your body the way you're supposed to, so you can live the life you are supposed to. You will live a dirtier version of the life you are supposed to live if there is shadow inside your vessel. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It was very good broken down.
Yeah. Good. So when we talk about sin, what do you think about, Noah?
Well, for me, it's like before I started about TikTok, because I started TikTok with the spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. But before that, I never even thought about spirituality or about all these things. I grew up being full of shadow, I guess, if you can call it like that.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me now, getting into all this, it's crazy what you're able and what you're capable of, how powerful you are, how much you can actually go into yourself and, like you said, go like deep, look, what am I able to create? What am I able to do? And of course, to do that, you have to leave away a lot of things so you can think clearly and just be a very good version of yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's it. So I'm just gonna slide some opportunities through that you can see here.
Mm-hmm.
These are free opportunities to initiate your journey of alchemy with me if you want to, because alchemy is all about, you just said it, leaving parts behind. So making your old, outdated version die, which is the uncomfortable part, in order to, this is the comfortable part, make space for the new version of yourself. Okay? And yeah, that's basically what alchemy is about. And because you're energetically going through some discomfort, which is positive discomfort, it is always nice to do that with a guide. Because Noah, you said it, we actually all grow up in shadow. This is the level where the energy mastery of the collective of humanity is. It's shadow. So the collective of humanity does not perceive the magic of life. That does not mean that life is not magic. And that's the multidimensional fun thing about it, because just as an example, I removed a lot of shadow so I can see the magic of life. So it is unlocked for me, but it might not be unlocked for somebody else, even though we are in the same space, which is why you kind of disrupt time. Or you could basically say time does not exist at all, but the only thing that exists is like shadow and power. And it is very interesting also that the power required to make anything matter, to turn anything into reality, is very linked to your shadow to power ratio. So how much power you actually hold and reclaimed from your shadow archetypes, okay? Shadow archetypes are just a way to be even more precise when it comes to energy, okay? I'm all about archetypes, and I would not have been at my level of energy mastery that I am right now if I would have not met my mentors that I met throughout traveling through Costa Rica and Mexico, which was a very magical experience on their own. But yeah, to make things short, I grew up in shadow as well. Then I became super duper spiritual, like a little bit too spiritual, to the point where I was like raw vegan and I didn't even want to think any bad word fuck anymore, because I thought I would immediately manifest something negative, and just way too spiritual. And luckily,
that's the way I guess we all go, huh?
Yeah. But you know, then there's a lot of spiritual people who even developed a spiritual ego. They're like, oh, you're religious? Oh, fuck you. You don't know nothing. You're below me. Shit like that. Because they think you're like indoctrinated and you can't think outside of your Quran or your Bible, etc. Which is something that you start to think when you develop the spiritual ego, which is totally stupid, because I can learn from the Quran, I can learn from the Bible, I can learn from the Bhagavad Gita. I don't care. I see the synchronicities and the connections between all these books. And I know what they meant. It's all astrological, archetypal events, basically, in the end. They are all portraying the hero archetype that, in the end, saves himself. There's not any savior that you have to wait for until he resurrects to save your life, etc. You are the savior of your life. You're the creator of your life. But you can only see and read that from a pure perspective when you are when the brainwashing is gone. Right? So, yeah, I went too spiritual, and then I went neutral, finally.
So when you went too spiritual, did it also happen to you that you kind of, in a way, started having this spiritual ego for a period of time?
Yeah.
Was it the same? Yes? Because I guess then this is something we also all go through after coming from the shadow into the light. I think it's probably just because you have this, you come out of this dark, dark place, and then you're in this bright place, and you want to just try to tell everybody. You want everybody to be able to feel the same way you have felt, because you know how it is. And then, but nobody understands you, so you just have these ego strain or these ego types about you, and they just come out, I guess.
It's even more interesting. You come from the shadow place, and then you get to this place where it's all bright, and you think you made it. You think you are awakened now, but this is not the final destination. There's another destination, which is the dark destination. And darkness and shadow are not synonym to each other. Shadow is gray, darkness is black. That's the difference. So you can basically say, because the dark is where the light comes from. It's the newest light that is not even light yet. It's the origin of light. Light is not the origin. Light is the origin of matter. Yeah? We have a light and Wellenteilchen dualism. wave matter dualism, right? Particles are also wave functions, and our observation collapses the wave function into matter. So everything physical comes from the light. But where does the light come from? The light comes from the darkness, the wild darkness that is black because it holds all the colors. You already see that that is a concept that you can only get after with a 100 EQ minimum, because it's a paradox. We're talking about nothing.
Is that what they mean by saying? Is that what you mean, like the dark matter energy, what they talk about?
That's also the same thing, yeah. This is, the quantum physics will catch up to the alchemic concept that I'm teaching, and that is very, very well known since a lot of time already. Yeah. So that is the thing. That is the pitfall. So whenever some spiritual guide says, "Oh, I went through my dark night of the soul," and I just read it, and I'm like, "Yeah, expect another 90 dark nights of your fucking soul," because you like awakenings and rebirths are happening as much as you want to evolve, basically. As much as you dare to submit to your genius, because that is transformation, bro. It does not fucking stop.
No. Exactly.
It does not stop. So in the dark place, finally, when you finally like actually empty emotionally, you're right? To the point where you also can face you yourself in the mirror and be totally honest with yourself and about the sins you've been committing, because the only sin you ever committed is the sin you can't forgive yourself for. If you can't forgive yourself for having committed any sin, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah. But because you will always live in it.
You see the strength, the actual power that is required sometimes in life. It's basically self-love and respect that you need in order to forgive yourself, right?
Yes, definitely.
And self-love and respect is gained through hard work, to sticking to your word. So I might not be able to forgive myself for a certain sin that I committed now, but if I kind of punish myself, atone for my sin, and actually stop joking around that topic in whatever area in my life, I can now then develop the self-love and the self-respect that I actually am able to change, and then get my forgiveness power from that and break through that sin, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all, everybody has their dark place. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're just going to carry it around with you and bring it to other places where it has nothing. It shouldn't be there in that space between you with other people that weren't there. You can meet someone new 2 years later after you committed a sin, and you can't forgive yourself for this sin 2 years ago. But this person should just be able to have the newest version, the version of you forgiving yourself, or you're going to carry it around with all the new people you meet. That's what it is.
All the new people that do not care about who you were a second ago. They just met you.
They don't even think about it. They don't know anything about you in the past. Only what you give to them, or what they hear maybe from somebody else, what doesn't even matter. Because it don't exist anyway, so yeah. It's like, if I meet new people, I don't even care or think about their past, because I'm so about myself and just reflecting myself on, like, looking how cool somebody is, and just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't care what they did in their past.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, and let's connect that to just archetypes, because we've been talking about archetypes and how that can actually mean sin if we animate shadow archetypes. It's the most powerful tool that I ever discovered, and it is what I'm trying to live up to as, like, at the best of my abilities, as much as I can. It's not easy to live up to the warrior. It's not easy to live up to the king. It's not easy to live up to the magician. It's not easy to live up to the lover all the time. But this is basically where transformation lies. And whenever I don't live up to these archetypes, and all the students in my community, if they don't live up to these archetypes, what we do is we fall in shadow. Instead of being a king of our life, we're a child now. A powerless child that wants the toy now. The problem is not that we will get successful. We want to be successful now, and then we're not successful now because now we have to do the work and be responsible like a king, but we don't want to. So we fall into this shadow child. And then if you have a problem, because the problem of the shadow child is the instant gratification hook, if you are now hooked to instant gratification, what happens? You are kind of behaving more like a junkie, like a dopamine junkie. You want just the gratification. Now you don't care about the people you're actually helping. You just want the money from them, maybe. So your business is not one of luxury or value or standard. And you cannot build a business from your child archetype. You should not. You can, but you should not. As I said, drug businesses are built on the child archetype thing. They sell dopamine, so it does not mean you cannot make money from shadow. A lot of people, they play dirty with money, so a lot of people think business is not good, which is why I call this whole podcast Business is Spiritual, because a lot of spiritual people are like, business? Ooh, I'm like money? Oh, a lot of spiritual people have problems with money. Including me. I had to fight my money shadow in order to become an emperor.
Yeah,
what do you think about
that's
it?
What I'm working on.
Am I talking shit, or is it true?
It is true. That's what I'm working on, pretty much.
Why do you think that? Why are you so afraid of money?
I don't get it. It's just, I don't know. It's just programs, I guess, whatever. I have no idea.
Look at this guy. With his suit and his Mercedes Benz. He probably didn't even meditate today. Probably didn't even connect to the Akashic Chronics.
That's how it's just, I don't know. I have no idea why. have all of this.
I'm here to change this, so don't worry.
Yes. But if you see it in other people and you just know you're like not the only one that went through all this stuff, and it's like, it just makes it easier.
Yes, it makes it easier because, oh yeah. Okay, let's talk about the actual topic, sin. A lot of people know about sexual sin, right?
Yes.
And I want to actually talk openly about why, what it is about sex that is sinful or harmful. So you get an understanding that, first of all, there's no escape, all right? There's the, like, and you're not harming anybody else when you're committing any sin. The only one you are harming is yourself. And you cannot go around this penalty, basically. And I'm gonna strictly tell you why. So, and then the second thing that I want to talk about is that once you understood this fact, you will see that, all right, you're going to have to get to work in some ways on yourself. And this work will be the most intensive and challenging work you have ever dared to do and put your hands on. All right, energetic mastery is not a fucking joke. And you will collapse back into your default version. Because when it comes to energy mastery, every man, every woman, we're literally pussies. It's the hardest thing to do because we are born in shadow. So this is a new thing now. It's not our default way of functioning. But in a community, which is what I'm building all around this topic of mastering your sexual energy and also extracting the gem within you and the brand basically that you already are, the spiritual brand, so you can also help others and make money from your gifts, from your spiritual gifts, the only thing you should actually sell, in my opinion, because it's the most valuable thing you own. Yeah. And it's all going to be way easier with a community. Okay, so let's talk about sexual sin. So I don't know if you know about the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden tells you something, right?
Of course.
Yeah, Adam and Eve. Yeah, okay, nice. Mm-hmm. The serpent and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
Also, there's a tree of life, all right? We have two trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, okay, it's our body. And in the center of the Garden of Eden, if we look at our body, and what is in the center of our body? Our sexual reproductive system. This is in the center of our body. Okay, so what does that have to do with the tree of life, which is actually our cardiovascular system, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is our nervous system? Okay, well, if you extract our cardiovascular system, like all the arteries and capillaries and everything where the blood flows through, and also if you take out all the our nervous system, if we take it out of the body, it literally looks like a tree. Okay, so this is the tree that we are, and that is neglected as fuck. It's neglected as fuck because if we go train, we train our muscle. Some ninjas maybe train their bones as well, but nobody goes deeper than the bones. Nobody tries and goes ahead and trains their nervous system in order to get like nice thick nervous strands to have a nice muscle or body mind what is it called, body mind connection, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, the story,
how do you train it?
Yeah, sorry,
how do you train it though?
Our the nervous system, we can train it through sexual energy mastery, celibacy, okay. Basically not ejaculating.
Yes.
And the reason is simple, because all the juices from our reproductive system are made of nerve matter. So there is a conspiracy that masturbation makes stupid, and that is not a conspiracy, because this, it's, you're literally decreasing your gray brain matter whenever you are ejaculating. And like sport, like Olympic sport boxers, for example, they can't masturbate before any or like ejaculate and have sex before any competition because it weakens their legs. And it's proven, it's totally true.
And in the legs is all the testosterone also?
I mean, it builds, the muscle in the legs builds the most testosterone. In your knees, for example, there's synovial fluid, which is, it's the fluid of your knees in order to make it smooth, to make the movement smooth. And our sperm is basically made from the same stuff. So, so you're basically jizzing your brain out, you're basically jizzing your nerve fluid out, and you get literally getting stupid. And nobody wants you to know that because people profit from your stupidity. Let's put it like that. And there's so many people on the internet trying to protect their dirty fetish for ejaculating. And they will comment also probably underneath this episode, you're going to comment shit. There is no scientific proof that it has any connection shit, but this is just proof that you are already, like you're probably already just your brain out and maybe there's no return. So no, it's very important. I can't talk about it enough because this shit has to be like repeated and repeated because this can be the one and only thing you are lacking, okay? In my raw power readings, for example, I'm telling people which is the shadow that most holds their power at the moment. Some people might have a huge relationship problem at home, which of course fucks up the whole energy and vibe, and then they don't make any money in their business. Somebody maybe has super nasty eating behaviors, all right, that doesn't make him think properly. I've been fasting the whole day today almost. The only thing I've been eating today were nuts. So I've been pretty much intermittent fasting the whole day. And I already prepared a big curry for after this episode, which I'm going to eat later. And I'm going to eat it with a smile on my face.
I was on a 23-hour fast today too.
Nice. Very good. And I just love it. I love how clean I can think.
Yes. Right? Exactly. You just get more done every day.
You just get more done, and it's also super hot. I'm in the south of Italy, you're in Cyprus. I don't want anything rotting in my stomach.
And when I was walking and I was thinking about that I'm fasting, you're in a flow state, you don't feel the heat so much.
Yeah, everything is. And so now we have like a super, not just over-sexualized world, but sinful world. You know, it's so easy to sin. There's like literally no glory in having a normal life, because normal life is literally full of sin. We have the sexual sin. We have laziness. We have, what are the seven deadly sins? Laziness, pride, so not being humble, overeating, etc., which is what a lot of people, we've been just talking about fasting. Not fasting is basically a sin. Because
actually, but that has to do. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, just go on. And not eating is more important than eating.
Yes.
Because if we are not eating, we are not in rest and digest mode. If you are in rest and digest mode, you are not living. You're not expanding. Right? So yes. Basically, especially as a man, you need an empty stomach and full balls. That's the most important thing. Then you are hungry and motivated to change things around in your life and create.
Yeah, it takes so much energy if your whole body is constantly just working on digesting and everything. And if you just give it that rest, you'll be able to do so many things. Like the workout was, all these people always talk about eating something before your workout to have more energy. I don't believe that anymore, not at all. Because I did my workout today again on empty stomach, and it was, I think I got better than yesterday
on
an empty stomach.
It's because I love to work out with an empty stomach, I manage myself. So either I eat 2 hours before the workout, so my stomach is empty when I work out, or I don't eat anything. Like I maybe get lemon water, make myself some lemon water before the workout, something that, or maybe a watermelon that takes only 20 minutes to digest. Fresh fruit. Yes. No, it's amazing. You are not yourself with a full stomach. It's as easy as that.
The food is also has to do with I guess it comes like after controlling your sexual urges. I think it has like a connection between it, the eating and the.
So as I told you, right, if you're on this journey of mastering your sexual energy, it's not going to be easy. All right. You're going to fail a lot of times, which is fucking crazy. It's crazy. Imagine you just can't hold still. You can hold still for 1 month, but then you kind of reach a limit. How fucked up is that? That you just can't hold still. There's something moving you. And now we are getting like religious spiritual here because, to be honest, this is all demonic possession. Shadow is demonic possession. Archetypal energies that move through you and use your body in order to experience life.
And you're either serving the vices or you're serving the virtues.
Right.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
So
So
either
either
demand.
you give yourself up to your genius, which is a little bit beyond intuition, because I don't think intuition initiates you into the light, into your power, but this is not all the way in order to get to go dark, you know. Like intuition is like jumping in cold water, and following your genius, intuition is a little bit like jumping from a cliff. In terms of feeling, in terms of the ideas that come, because it is super disruptive and it life changing, you know. So it's not disruptive in a bad sense, but in a good, positive sense. But because it does change your life around 360 degrees, it's also scary because you're probably like almost all the time you gotta do the thing that you have been avoiding. Yeah, such as like hiding, for example, from inviting beautiful and interesting guests to your episode, etc. What I'm finally doing and say yes to. Shit like that. You can be a baby about transformation and whine and cry and make it take a lot of time, or you can disrupt it right now and just make it happen. But it's only possible when you're empty about it and you don't give it so much power and you make your life about you instead of the things that make you shake. So you stop being shaky about things, you know.
And there comes the term crazy again, because other people might perceive it as crazy
Yeah.
because you decide to like go into the change and just do that big thing, jump off a cliff, what you just feel, and other people will just perceive it as crazy. But you know what you're doing because you just are in your flow state, trying to get better, change yourself, and all this thing. But
Yeah.
about the hero archetype too, does it not have to do also with your inner child when you, because I can always tap into all these movies I've watched when I was younger, all these superhero movies. It gives me so much power thinking about it when I was young. Like,
Dragon
you know
Ball.
this one. Whatever, or you know this one from the Fantastic Four, the fire guy who has fire and he flies. He's called the Human Torch. And the other day I saw a video about when you're outside and you're active and doing sport, your body starts to heat up. And they say all these superhero movies are about us. So I was running and I wanted to stop because I was already at 8 kilometers or whatever. And I was like, but then in my mind, I had this superhero. I was thinking about my body heating up and I'm all around fire and everything. And it gave me like this extra energy, tapping into that child thing of you, for yourself, where you always wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Actually, this is what my godlike community is all about. Let me just insert it here. Yeah, so this is my school community, and it's a free community for spiritual entrepreneurs to unlock their archetypal switchboard. Because once you master the archetypes inside of yourself, which is vice versa, it's outside, inside, etc. Let's not go too deep now and fuck everybody's mind up too much. But once you master these archetypes, you can use the archetype that is best for whatever you're going to do right now. So we have a warrior, which is the hero that you've been talking about, and that is our physical body. That is where you have to become resourceful. This is when whatever you envisioned with your king archetype, with the sovereign, that is like he has the vision and the command, all right? And he decides what will matter, but he's not the one who is building, right? Have you ever saw a king at a construction site? No. But yeah, if you are all these archetypes in one, it gets a little bit more crazy. So you have to see that you have a CEO, all right? You have a CEO. He knows where you want to go. He knows what you want. And his word is what your warrior, then the physical body, is going to die for creating, all right? You totally submit to his command. And this is how you work together. Then, of course, you also have to activate the lover, because you have to then value your vision that you've been choosing over all the other things that you're currently valuing. And you have to protect that matter, because a lot of people are being like, oh, yeah, I want to go out next, I don't know, Monday when I have another podcast episode. And I have to say no, because I'm building my empire right now. I'm valuing my empire right now. I don't value socializing too much right now. So this is when you have to, this is where things get physical, life changes, right? And then in the end, we have the magician who basically, this is what I'm animating right now, because this is the showtime, all right? This is when you then actually deliver what you committed to. So this is how those four archetypes work together. And once you master them, you are basically limitless. There's nothing can stop you. Only you can stop yourself once you really mastered this. And yeah, I don't think there's anything cooler or more precise. You also don't have to do any one size fits all solution, because those archetypes, they show up for everyone individually. So it's really a work with yourself, getting intimate with yourself, getting to know yourself even deeper than you thought would ever be possible. And then once you see the archetypes in yourself, you will see the archetypes in the others as well. And this is when you can really, really, really help other people, because you can see now what fucked them up, because you learn to see all these traits in yourself. And yeah, you can also make way better business than most business people on an energetic, authentic level. So this is this. And what I did not say yet is that those archetypes are in our body. So the hero you've been talking about, it sits in our throat chakra. The crown chakra is where our sovereign sits. The lover sits in our heart, and the magician sits in our solar plexus. So those are the higher chakras. There's no energy around the sinful area, such as our crotch and down there where like the root chakra is, etc. This is actually, interestingly, where the shadow archetype sits. This is where the victim and the prostitute and the saboteur and the child chill. They chill down there. And not by surprise, because the river of what was it called? We've been talking about sin, right? The river of Jordan is in the Bible, right? And it ends in the Dead Sea. The River of Jordan is our spine, okay?
Yes.
And the Dead Sea is the sacrum, which is like the little, like the spike of our spine. The coccyx.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's called, the coccyx. So this is the it ends in the Dead Sea of Sodom. And then you have sodomy, right? And sodomy is literally like sexual perversion, right? So this is when all the shadow archetypes are, when you are totally in your shadow archetypes and you just think about like pleasure, eating, like an animal basically, reproducing yourself, etc. All your energy is then down there in your body, which is very interesting. Yeah. So it's all about pulling this energy up and using the centers and the biotechnology you came here with, in order to create a designer life, not some random life.
So how do you feel about how the world is like with all the people getting more into these topics and these topics more to the surface, coming more to the surface, people having more knowledge about this? I don't know, probably there was people with this knowledge, but it is spreading wider and wider. And how do you see all this?
It's very relieving because it's finally my time to shine. So I found my spot, you know, not a weirdo anymore, but part of a big weird scene. And how do I find it? Well, I mean, it was very obvious if you can read the stars. I'm an astrologer as well. So we're in the age of Aquarius right now, and things are just, the veil is lifting. So that is good because we have the choice now. You were kind of protected by not knowing about these things. You're right, right? Mm-hmm. For a while, but now you really have to hide under a rock to ignore spirituality and alchemy further, or you literally like ignorantly choose not to, which is okay as well, because there is people who from a soul contract perspective before they came to Earth just didn't want to be part of like the awakening scene. They are their role is to basically play the shadow,
do what they want,
and that's fine as well, because but you can only see that from an NTF perspective, right? Because in my spiritual days I was like, everybody got to get enlightened now, that's the shit. But now I see that not everybody is even supposed to be this way. So I'm happy that a lot of people get to choose themselves now. Yeah. And I think everybody who is supposed to awaken and become their full genius versions, they will hear this message and have an opportunity. So I'm all stoked.
Mm-hmm. So it is not to go. You can't get around this because of the stars and everything. So that is really how it is. So you think it is kind of fate, or is it like just, you know what I mean?
Is it like, fake?
No, faith. Is it faith?
Like,
because they say people have predicted it, and it is all coming. Or yeah, faith.
Huh? Yeah, it's like I call it screenplay. Rebo, screenplay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And we are spiritual leaders. We have a fucking responsibility, to be honest. Like, that is just the way it is. Like, if I would not spread this art, it's not that I can't. I have to. I would explode if I would keep all this for myself. I have to express my genius. Otherwise, it eats me up from the inside. I don't know if your brand is so serious with you. If you just could chill and like shut up for the rest of your life about what, you know? What you want to share? No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
You have to get stuff out there. But just like I said, there's kind of phases in it too, where you just pull back a little bit, you
Yeah.
reflect on what you have learned all this past year, go
Totally.
through some, and you apply it, and then you pop back out, get all the new stuff, the new version out there.
Totally,
Yeah.
totally. Yeah, I consciously retract from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes the transformation is just too much. I'm being honest.
Definitely.
Sometimes it's too much, and then I'm just, watch a movie or something. But yeah.
It's all energy, information. You're storing all that in your body, you know?
Yeah.
Like they say. I guess it is with the moon and stuff too, probably all the things you applied till the how they say like full moons and everything.
The archetypes are actually the constellations. So we have Mars as the warrior, okay?
Yes.
And Jupiter is the sovereign. And the lover is the full moon. The child is the dark moon. So whenever we have like Mars retrograde, Jupiter retrograde, or full moon or dark moon, we have more of these archetypal energies in the air.
Okay.
This is how it goes, you know? So especially when you are transforming, when you're on your journey, you will have more intense moments on full moon. Full moon is like one of the biggest indicators. I have a lot of water elements in my, so for
Yeah.
me it might be more intense than for others, but when you have like an addiction or you're trying to change life around and you're really trying and you're committed to and but you fail from time to time, you're probably always failing on full moon. So this is where you have to
Okay.
watch out the hardest for your transformation. Because it the energy is double. It becomes double as hard. And because I'm on such a transformational journey, every time after full moon, even though I get it now and I do my full moon rituals to be ready for the full moon, I'm like always, oh, full moon is over. Oh my gosh, nice. That is relieving for me.
So what rituals do you do then?
Full moon rituals are the completion of a cycle. Dark moon rituals are the initiation of a cycle. It's when things get started. So I'm just thanking for the whole month on full moon for all the transformations that came. And I'm deciding for what I'm going to want to do on the dark moon then. And then on the dark moon, I set an intention to start a new cycle. And we are almost finished our 60 minutes now. So it really got the most interesting in the end, which is perfect because we're going to do another episode in the future, I
Yes,
guess.
definitely.
So, yeah, guys, just really go ahead and follow Noah, please, because even though he doesn't need it, it's worth it. He spreads a lot of free value and this is a nice transformational space. And also make sure to get inside the Godlike Foundation. Bye.
See you.
Any final words? Any final words?
Was very, very informative and interesting, and I am looking forward to the next one, next
Nice.
topic. Let's see what we talk about. And yes, very grateful to be here.
Same. Got you. Bye.